This is Talking Business. I'm joined now by Anton Spitalak, who's the co-founder and CEO of Tribe Breweries, which is a craft brewing business. G'day, Anton.
Hi, Alan. Great to be on board.
Now, I think you and your family, or at least possibly just your family, bought Australian Independent Brewers, which went broke. So tell us the story about how that came about.
Yeah, so I've got to wind the clock back, I guess, into 2011. I was living in New York City, and my older brother had just completed about a 10-year stint over in Germany becoming a brewmaster at Weinstephan Academy, which is one of the oldest breweries in the world, if not the oldest. You could ask my brother, I'm sure he'd say it is.
Where is it in Germany?
It's in Bavaria, so it's in the very south of Germany, where a lot of kind of old German brewing pedigree comes from. And he had, you know, it was always a passion for him to be a brewer. He was a home brewer as a teenager and making beer in the TV unit in my house, much to the major dismay of my mother. And went over to Germany and became a brewmaster, and then came back to Australia. Was working in a small brewery called Australian Independent Brewers when they hit some financial trouble. And then he gave us a call and said, "Hey, Anton, we should get involved in the beer business." And
you said, "No way."
I said, "No way, man." Like, that, look, I was 10,000 miles away. You know, I was like,
what were you doing?
I was in the finance game in New York City. So I was over there. I went to University of Texas in Austin, which was a pretty cool thing for a young Australian kid to do. And then moved up to New York City, where I met my wife and got involved in finance.
Right. And so what's your brother's name?
Marek. My older brother's name is Marek. And I have two other brothers too, Andre and Stefan, who are all involved in the business with me now.
So did Marek persuade you to come back?
Yeah, he's a pretty persuasive guy, which is code for calling me up 15 times a day until I get onto a plane and check out what's going on down in Australia, which I did. And I was, you know, really kind of keen to discover that same craft journey that Americans had been on for that last decade that I was in the US, Australians were only just starting to step out into. And it was a really exciting time. So Australians were discovering that beer can be more than just yellow, fizzy liquid, and that kind of cool craft beer and that really association with the artisan was just the first early steps of that. And that's really what, you know, Australia was early on in 2011. And I was immediately captivated with it, intoxicated by it, you know, no pun intended. And so, had to jump on board and make something of it.
So what happened? You and your brother and your family bought the business out of from the receiver. Is that what happened?
Exactly. Yeah, it took a little while to get through the receivership process. So we actually took over the business officially in July of 2012 and renamed it to Brewpack, which is it had been for a couple of years, and then more recently renamed to Tribe.
So what went wrong with it that you thought that you would not repeat?
You know, beer's a tricky one. It always has been tricky. And if you have a look at the last kind of 40 years of the Australian beer industry story, really dominated by two major Australian breweries and then have a couple of forays from major international breweries. And really one of the key barriers to entry in that is around infrastructure and capacity. So the way that bigger breweries retain their strong grip on the marketplace is that that kind of first step into reasonable beer production is a real tough one, a real steep one. And I think a lot of people who'd been involved in the business and tried to get entrance into it, including AIB, just reached a little too high on that ladder and then kind of fell off it. And that's essentially where we picked up the story from AIB and what we turned into Tribe.
And so I presume, or I think, that AIB didn't have its own brands. It was a toll brewer, right?
Exactly. So like what we do, you know, we call that a partner brewing program. There's lots of great young artisans and young brands who want to get involved in the business. But like I was mentioning before, one of that key barrier to entry is around infrastructure and capital. So essentially what Tribe will do in that situation is partner with them, help them with recipe development, help them with access to capacity, help them with access to expertise, and allow them to grow. And that's really all AIB was doing. We kind of came to the picture and we started off doing that for the first couple of years, but then transitioned into making beers ourselves, being a reflection of our own creativity and our own individualism. And right now, that's a decent chunk of our business, both domestically and export.
That being, you mean your own brands?
Yeah, exactly. Stockade Bruco is our current lead, and we also recently picked up another partnership with a group called Wild Gluten Free. So we've got a craft beer portfolio here in Australia and in Asia, and we also have a gluten-free brand.
And how much of your business, how much of your revenue comes from your own brands and how much from the contract brewing?
It's a great question. I think if you would have asked me that question in 2017 financial year, I think probably about 10% of our business would have come from brands. Over 2018 financial year, which we're just finishing right now, about 20%. But in the month of June, it was more like 35%. So to give you an idea, that kind of aspect of our business is growing really fast.
And would I be right in assuming that the margin from your own brand is bigger than when you do it on contract?
You know, that's a really good question too. I think it really matters. It matters where you look at yourself on the business cycle. So one of the great things about working with people on a partnership basis is that although the margin on a gross profit basis is smaller, it's immediately activated because those individual brand partners have their own sales teams, they have their own infrastructure on a business side. So we don't have to bear the cost of that. So although on a gross margin basis, branded products are really good. On a kind of ability to gain velocity very quickly, that kind of partner brewing business has got a lot of strength because in effect, for the 40 breweries that we might work with on that model, we would have 200 or 300 salespeople on the road pushing those beers, which we don't have to invest in as a partner brewer.
Right. So you think you'll just keep doing both? You won't just become an entirely brand-driven business?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, a lot of people are concerned about that as our branded story grows and as our portfolio of products, you know, grab more and more share of heart and mind of the drinker, they're concerned that that aspect of the industry that we're offering will start to diminish. Really, for us, it's part of our DNA. And it's not just about the fact that there's an economic model to support it. It's about who we are and what we want those markets to become. Because as much as, for us, it's all about the journey for the consumer. So at the end of the day, if that guy is now looking for, or girl is now looking for a different flavor of beer, however they find it, whether it's through a brand that we offer, whether it's through a partner's product, we're agnostic. We just love that consumer going on that journey because eventually we benefit. So I think that for the future, we'll definitely be offering both business models and we'd like to do that forever, really.
So do you have an idea of what proportion of the beer market is now craft?
That's also a good question. In the Australian market today, I think that's about 4 or 5%. But that's actually a bit of a confusing number because 4 or 5% of total beer volume being designated as quote-unquote craft would include a lot of very large brewers with kind of craft offerings of their own. The metric that we look at, which is kind of more about where the market evolution is independent craft, I think that's more like 1.5%.
Oh, I thought it'd be more than 4 or 5%. I can't believe it's so low.
Yeah, it's early days here in Australia. Got a lot of work left to do.
So what is it in America?
I think at the moment it's in the mid-teens. Last I checked, like somewhere between 12 to 14%
going to. So a fair way to go to catch up.
Hopefully so. Exactly. That's what we're building big breweries to cater to.
So how much of that 1.5% independently owned craft do you think you've got?
Well, if we do call it close to 8 million litres and the beer market's somewhere between 1.5 to 2 billion litres, we'd probably be doing something like maybe 10% or less of that independent craft market.
Right. How many brands do you make?
We make about 35 different brands. A total number of beers that we and products that we push through our brewery every year becomes somewhere close to 150.
Right. Are they all different recipes? I mean, are we cheating and putting the same beer out under different brands?
Oh, in some ways, I wish we could. Unfortunately, our client market is really sophisticated and every single beer is not just a unique recipe, but a lot of the times those brewers are coming into our facilities and working side by side to get those beers into bottles. So absolutely, it's a unique process. It's an artistic process. It has to be in order for us to be able to command the market premium that we do over mainstream beers.
Arguably, the palate becomes less sophisticated as the night goes on.
It's funny because while the palate can become a little less refined as you increase the scale of flavour and ABV throughout the evening, you know, the style of beers get more and more advanced. So, I mean, we had a big launch in Marrickville only last Friday night for our barrel room for Stockade, which is actually where we kind of showcase our most crazy and outrageous beers. And almost all the people finished that journey of that night with an Old Money Imperial Stout, which is a 12%, you know, bourbon barrel aged imperial stout. So although they had certainly been working their way up to that, that is the biggest and most advanced beer that we offer. So it's funny that that's the capstone of most people's journey.
Yeah, right. So what do you think the key to this is? I mean, I'm just interested because, as you say, a lot of the big brewers, CUB and so on, own what you think are craft beers. And I mean, in some ways, they're a bit deceptive, it seems to me, pretending to be a craft beer when in fact they're not. Do you think that they'll continue to do that and retain a large proportion of the market, or were the people, do you think, will wake up as time goes on?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that in two ways. I mean, firstly, I challenge that concept that, you know, what is craft and what's not craft, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the consumer's looking for, the drinker's looking for an experience. And who am I to question if that experience comes from my facility or it comes from a big CAB facility or a big Asahi facility? Some of those guys make great beer. I mean, some of those guys make beer better than a lot of small guys do. So it's kind of, it really is up to that consumer and really what they want out of that concept. What I feel like happens over time is that the journey of the drinker, it becomes more and more dynamic. And that's really where these small independent guys shine, because for them, they can be more responsive. They take more risks. They put crazy stuff in their beers that the bigger guys might only do 2 or 3 years later. And with all those consumer markets now becoming more and more fast to adapt, the trends become faster to go from 0 to 100, that's really where those small guys can pick it up. So I feel like it's less about deceiving the consumer and more about being able to service what they need. And I think that the independent aspect of the market is really much better suited to do that than the big guys.
Thank you, Anton. Thanks for talking to us.
No, it's great to be on.
I've been talking to Anthony Spitalek, who's the co-founder and CEO of Tribe Breweries.